Welcome, everybody, to Slip Angle Show and the Apex Pro Show. Hey, Andrew.
Welcome. Hey, Abe. It's good to talk to you again. It's been a while. Yeah, man.
I've heard you've got some news. What's up?
Yeah, we do have a lot of news. I kind of mentioned it on the conversation we had yesterday, the data review show, but the worst kept secret in motorsports is that Apex Pro has been developing a new product. So we're getting ready to launch Apex Gen 2. Very exciting.
Okay. Tell me about where you saw the opportunities to improve Gen 1 were at and what you were able to accomplish here with this Gen 2 unit.
Yeah, that's kind of the challenge in product development is there's always so many different directions that you can go based on the problems that you see yourself, manufacturing, improving margins, improving, you know, the manufacturing process, improving the customer experience, which is really the emphasis, and then also customer feedback, which is also pretty important as well, like aggregated customer feedback. So we kind of blended it all, but the big like changes are that the sensors that we use for a very long time, kind of 2 or 3 years, you couldn't really get better parts that were in our price range that would fit on our, you know, circuit board. But about a year and a half ago, some of those sensors got upgraded. Some things started to improve to where the new sensors that are on the circuit board will be a meaningful improvement over the old ones. So that's kind of what we were waiting for in a sense was to like, we're not just going to launch a new product just to have a new product. We could very easily have like changed the color and just said, hey, it's Apex Gen 2.
Sure.
And charge people a bunch of money for it. And a lot of people probably would jump on that, right? Because it's the new thing. But that didn't feel like the right thing to do. So we actually redesigned the Apex Pro case entirely. We redesigned the mounting base to take the lessons that we've learned to make that better and to make the product safer. We've addressed some reliability issues. We had a high rate of LED failures on the Gen 1 unit because they have little black surrounds around them and they absorb a lot of heat.
Oh, I see.
And that amount of heat is excessive for the LED and eventually it can cause a failure. Some production runs were worse than others. That's not a huge issue, but so we've addressed all of those little issues and then also added in a lot of customer feedback, like requested features.
Sure.
The big one's telemetry, like the unit now streams speed and acceleration telemetry off the device. It does require a subscription to access that information, but it's very affordable and it's extremely cool. Particularly if you're coaching somebody or if you have friends that are on the track and you're not there, or I can't go without it now that I've been using it. And there's a lot of other stuff too. We can jump into the features, but for those watching the video, this is the new look.
So it's got a bit of a slimmer profile on the ends. The button's been moved to the front. So I assume that that's kind of just a more easy to turn on and off from the driver's seat.
Yeah,
it's got the same startup type functionality, and you've recessed the USB plug-in into the hardware instead of just like sticking
it out.
And it still uses, is that USB-C now?
USB-C.
Got it. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, sticking with the times. And then there's actually, you can't see it from here, but there's actually a light next to the USB-C port that indicates the level of charge when you're plugged in. So if you plug it into a USB-C charger, if it's red, it's charging. If it's green, it's fully charged.
That seems easy enough.
And yeah, that was a big one. Like that was a big thing, like after we launched. So like our company, Apex Pro, kind of was the second venture that myself and my business partners got involved with. We had a carbon fiber company called Brigand Arms. Then we started Apex Pro. And after both of those companies grew, we started Deft Dynamics, the shirt, which is basically the space that Apex Pro rents office space from. It's the building and the entity. And we have some other entities here, but because of our design and work with Apex Pro, we actually got some work to design and build products for other people. And so since we launched Apex Pro originally in like early 2017, we've probably designed 20 different or 30 different circuit boards for other people.
Interesting.
So the learning curve went from like Apex Pro was literally the first circuit board, and the Gen 1 Apex Pro, the original design, stayed alive from like 2017 up until we stopped producing it, which was in January of this year, 2021, with just some marginal, some small changes. Like we added a couple of things as we went along, but like if you bought one in 2017, it was basically the same as if you bought one in 2020. So there's a lot of low hanging fruit just with like little stuff that doesn't impact my daily existence on the circuit board, but from like a company that manufactures electronics is a really big deal from a livability standpoint, a design standpoint, over the air firmware updates, charging indication, which is a really challenging thing to get off the circuit board. All those types of things are really what you're going to see on the Gen 2 unit. Battery life is like, I ran this at GridLife at NCM. The battery life is crazy good. And now it doesn't. So something we experienced a lot with Gen 1 is when you turn the unit on, it's searching for satellites for GPS.
Uh-huh.
That takes a lot of battery power for obvious reasons, right? The unit's trying to connect its antenna with the signals from satellites orbiting the Earth. Even if you're not actively logging data, if it's sitting there on standby connected to your phone with the little blue light blinking that you might be familiar with, that's taking a lot of battery. So now it goes into what we call like a passive GPS mode, where it still retains some knowledge of GPS position, but it's not actively searching. So whether you, if you forget to turn it off, it's not going to kill your battery as much.
I see.
So the average, like the battery life of the original unit is excellent if you turn it off each time. This unit now, even if you don't turn it off, it's going to have much better battery life.
That's awesome.
So that's a huge improvement just from like a livability standpoint. So if you're listening and you have an Apex Pro and those are things that are valuable to you, this is definitely the upgrade that's going to solve a lot of those problems. And then obviously, not obviously, actually, I shouldn't say obviously, we're revising the app to address a lot of the new capabilities that are offered from this new hardware, to package that better and display that better in the app. But also anyone that's using, you know, the legacy product, the Gen 1 Apex Pro, is going to see kind of the fruits of the labor of launching a new product, monetizing the new product. We're revising the whole app to make the user experience easier because we also had never built an app before we launched the first Apex Pro
and,
app.
You know, I've not been shy about talking about how much I really enjoy the app. It's, I mean, much like anything, it takes a minute to learn how to use, but I love that accessing the data is quite literally at your fingertips. And I know some of our drivers in the GridLife field have been big advocates for the Apex Pro hardware because it's so easy to get to the data. Conversely, I know some folks that have other data systems that often don't power up their laptop between sessions to review data because it's just so cumbersome. And so making the data easy to access, I think, is critical to getting people to read that data.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan, and I think we've talked about this. I use some other systems depending on who I'm working with, and I'm a big fan of the you know, systems with a lot of capability because you get a lot of information out of that, right? But it requires a lot of processing power, like both in your brain, in your the actual hardware that you're using to look at it, and then the amount of time is the biggest. You know, like if your primary data review functionality is on the laptop and you have to power up between sessions and you're the only person there running your car, you're probably not going to look at data until maybe at the end of the day when you're exhausted and don't remember anything. So a lot of what Apex Pro is doing, if you're in that position where you maybe already have a very sophisticated logger, considering Apex Pro is really not a bad idea because it might give you the, like, take away the excuse that you have of having to get out your laptop and everything. And now it's like, hey man, pull your phone out, right? And take a look at some data and you're going to find stuff. We all know how powerful, like what we looked at, the speed versus distance trace is, but just the other review metrics, which are now going to be even more powerful. You're going to be able to isolate stuff really quickly and not waste your time from a driving perspective on what you need to focus on. And that's what we're trying to capture in essence with the product is allowing people to have that power to just access it quickly, make some decisions, and then go back out. And I think everything that we're doing with Gen 2 is only going to make that capability, you know, extend it from what it was with Gen 1.
Okay. So you talked a little bit about the upgrades to the electronics and sensors and things. Can you talk specifically about, you know, the differences between Gen 1 and Gen 2 in that respect?
I should have pulled a circuit board from each one and like shown you the difference, because that would be the, that'd be the main thing. But the biggest difference, and I don't have like the tech specs in front of me, I'd have to pull them up, but we use a 9-axis accelerometer to measure acceleration, which is the primary sensor that's driving the information that, that goes into the Apex model that displays the LEDs. So there's now a, like a more readily available model that's a more sophisticated sensor than we were using before.
Okay.
So we upgraded to that. And of course, as soon as we started purchasing those for Gen 2, they went out of stock everywhere in the world.
Of course.
We're sourcing, COVID things, right? Anyone that's in the electronic space and probably like, you know, lumber, like other spaces, right? That's stuff is hard to find right now. So it's got a better IMU. The GPS chip is actually the same. It's a U-Blox 10 Hertz GPS.
Okay.
You can certainly debate whether you need more frequency or not, but in our experience, 10 Hertz is how quickly we can log data and still send it to the phone.
Okay.
You start logging it more quickly than that. So there's kind of that limitation.
Yeah. Got it. So your bottleneck isn't the GPS unit if there is one. So upgrading it to 20 Hertz or more or whatever doesn't actually give you any tangible benefit.
Right. And it doesn't enhance the Apex modeling capability. It doesn't enhance the way the data is presented to the driver. So it just, it's not worth us having to raise the price of the unit and the cost to the end user to have a higher frequency GPS in our case. But what the GPS chip does have now is a bigger antenna.
Okay.
So it's kind of funny, like 10 Hertz is just the sampling rate. The antenna is what changes the accuracy.
Sure.
The accuracy and sampling rate are different.
Right.
So the GPS is going to be even more accurate, which it's already bumping up against as accurate as you can really make a like commercially available GPS product. So I think people will be really impressed when they look at the overlaid, you know, GPS image with Gen 2, just how precise it is. It's going to be, that'll be really, really cool. And we'll be able to do more with that because of that precision with updates down the road.
Gotcha.
Those are the two big things, but it's got a different battery. It's got a different battery monitor. It's got a bunch of other little stuff on the circuit board, regulators, and, you know, also all the little stuff that you don't think about that's better than the original one that makes the user experience that much better.
Sure. So we've had a chance to talk a little bit about the specific changes to the hardware. Tell me now how those changes to hardware manifest into a different or improved user experience.
Sure. We can actually pull up the app and take a look at it too. For those of you on the video format, I will share the screen of my phone and we'll hopefully not see anything embarrassing when I first open my phone. Here we go. So there's a number of ways and let me know if you don't see it. There we go.
Yep. Looks good.
There's a number of ways that what you're going to see as a driver in the like data review portion and other elements of the app are going to be enhanced. But let's first cover the, if it's okay with you, we'll cover the stuff that is just going to be on this app update in general that all users are going to see regardless of your hardware. And then I'll kind of zero in on this is different with Gen 2 or this is going to be better with Gen 2.
Perfect.
Awesome. So this is the new home screen. So those of you that have the app on your phone right now, this update will be available in late May. So May 25th or so, this update will be on the App Store. Most of you have your app set to auto update. And so this will appear the next time you open the Apex Pro app. And there's some pretty fundamental differences here between the old version of the app and this new enhanced UI. But everything kind of operates in the same way. And our hope through the testing that we've done, the people that we've had it in front of, is that it's a little more intuitive. Because there's less buttons. So like UI design is all about funneling people to where they want to go, like funneling whoever's using the app to the correct place. So that, you know, there's more success. So now it should be pretty obvious. If you want to drive and record data, you tap drive. If you want to review your data, you tap my data. If you want to look at what other users are doing, submit your data, do anything that has to do with the community, then you get a crew view.
Gotcha.
Those are your options. And then obviously we'll have the Lap Timer Plus purchases at the bottom. And then at the top is like your user profile settings, kind of the nitty gritty stuff where you can go in and toggle features on and off. When you first go in there as an Apex Pro user, even if you have a current account, it's going to ask you to register. And that's a really easy process. Literally, you just put in your name and your email address and you make up a password, and then it's going to send you an email that says you're verified, click here, and then you're good to go.
Okay.
The reason that we're having to do that is because we changed how CrewView operates. CrewView being the social element of Apex Pro. So like the submission of your data to compete with others in the top 10 list, how we store the records, what all about the records we're storing to produce more value for our customers.
Sure.
And to do that, it's kind of getting into inside baseball, but I think it's interesting. We were using a lot of Apple's kind of the database features that they provide developers.
I see.
Which works great if you don't have a big team, if it, you know, all the different things, you just click a button. Yep. They produce a database for you. They allow you to do these things with it. But obviously the customization, the flexibility of what you, the information you can actually get, how you can actually interact with your users with it is really limited. So we switched it all to our own database that we're now managing. So you got to register with CrewView to create an account.
I see.
And that it'll be super easy.
Okay.
And trust me, the benefits will be well worth it. So let's just like jump through here and then we'll talk about the Gen 2 elements of the app update.
Awesome.
The drive screen is now where you select your track, where you connect to your device. So
and this is, once you hit the drive button, this display feels familiar, right? There's a lot of overlap between the existing software and this update.
Right. And the, all the icons are going to be the same. So there should be a lot of familiarity there between like what you're used to using in the Apex Pro app and what you now use. Cause it's expensive to go in and redesign all the icons and change, you know, basically we just made another page, move the icons over. Anytime you change something in the app, there's always unintended consequences.
Sure.
And that's what's expensive about app development. It's not like, hey, can we add this feature? Yeah, we can. What branch of the tree is that on though?
Sure.
And what other features will it impact? So I think we've turned out with something really simple here. So you kind of follow from top to bottom. You select your track, connect and calibrate your Apex Pro. If you want to change your brightness and your skill setting and all of your display options, the color of the lights, all of that is in that square there at the bottom. But then to open the lap timer, it's just like you did before.
Sure. So tell me, I probably should know the answer to this, but remind me what the filter and skill settings do and how a user should interact with those things.
Yeah, sure. So for the filter, when you tap it, it asks you for a mode.
Okay.
And this is autocross or road racing are the two options. And what the filter does is it actually changes the speed of the Apex display, like the real-time display.
Okay.
Autocross is faster because there's a lot more transients. Road racing is a little more slow because there's less flicks of the wheel back and forth.
Sure. Okay.
So that's all it does right now. What this will probably be used for in the future is for some autocross specific features or other motorsport niche specific things. So like, let's just pretend you got autocrosses a lot. If you tap autocross mode, it might change the way that the automatic start stop timer works or the way that data is saved or other stuff to make it more convenient for autocrossers.
I see.
Where the application is slightly different than road racing because you always are on a point to point course. It's just a little different, right?
Gotcha.
You only do one lap at a time usually.
Sure.
It's just kind of fundamentally different. So that's what that will be used for in the future. The other display settings, display changes the color of the unit, the yep. color of the LEDs.
Uh-huh.
So you can use solid colors or the chasing light scheme. Brightness, obviously, it's going to change your brightness.
So bright.
So much brightness. And then skill level is a hotly debated topic, but skill level is the resolution of the Apex coaching display. So the higher the skill level, basically the tighter the resolution on the lights. So the closer, the faster driver that you are, the higher skill level you should use basically.
Okay.
If you're fairly new, you don't want to use 3 stars because there's just going to be a ton of red lights on the display all the time and it might not be helpful.
I see. So in that case, you kind of use the skill level to guide or coach you on how much of the red light is being shown. And if you're in a situation where you're getting pretty okay on track and you're not seeing a whole lot of red lights and you're worried about, or you're considering how to improve, if you change the skill level from one star to two, it's going to advance what it's telling you and remind you where those opportunities are going forward.
Exactly. Like if you think of one star as, you know, the left side of the display is 0% grip utilized, like you're barely even driving, and 100% is you're at the limit, tire squeal about the understeer or oversteer, it's showing you 0 to 100% everything. Gotcha. Right. So most of the time you only have 12 LEDs, right? So most of the time you're going to see green. If you go to skill level, it's going to tighten that resolution. So now you're seeing 50 to 100%.
I see. That makes sense.
Yeah. And three would be like 75 to 100.
Gotcha.
So I drive in two or three, depending on my confidence. Sometimes I like to see more green. It makes me happy.
Well, Andrew, right? I think you're a three-star man.
I probably should, but, you know, just depends. And then at the bottom here, the OBD2 device, obviously still compatible with Gen 2, the current OBD device. You just tap there to connect the OBD2. And then these three buttons down here, this is specific to Gen 2. So the features that are on the other side of this little square icon, you can't access on Gen 1. If you try to access these features on a Gen 1, it'll say must upgrade hardware. That is because these features are not fundamentally possible on the Gen 1 hardware. And these are both extremely cool features and a huge reason to upgrade, in my opinion, because they're going to unlock some things that a lot of people have asked for a long time. So if we start on the right here, where you see Apex Coach, that shows the Apex coaching display. So that's red equals unused potential. Green is where you are currently. Overlapping green over red means you're at the limit of the tire and that you're at your limit in that particular display. So that is the display that helps you find the limit.
Okay.
If you toggle that, you can now see predictive on the Apex Pro display.
Tell me how that works.
So we'll go, there's coach, and then we'll go to predictive. So the way predictive works is if you're familiar with iRacing, you know, the relative bar, the time relative bar. So there's a green light and a red light in the middle of the unit. And the green light's on the right, red light's on the left. You'll do a couple laps, nothing will be displayed, right? Just because you don't have a fastest lap to compare to. On the next lap where you pass start finish, as you improve over your best lap, you'll start to see green lights populate to the right of center.
Got it. Okay.
As you go slower, you'll see red lights populate left of center.
Gotcha.
So are you faster relative? And that is influenced, what the resolution of those lights mean is also influenced by skill level.
Okay. So in this case, what you get is the ability to inform the driver without the need or the complexity of having a display. So you get the information that you want, but you don't actually have to, you don't have to make it a little bit more complicated. Instead, it's just if you're seeing green on predictive, you know that you're up.
Yep.
That's really neat.
Exactly. So if you're qualifying and you've done two laps, you're on your third lap, and now you're seeing green lights throughout the lap on the predictive display, keep going.
Gotcha.
If you're seeing red lights, it's probably not going to happen this lap, right? It's kind of that simple. So the distinction that I make between the two is, depending on the type of session that you're in, you might want one or the other. So I'm usually going to use the Apex Coach in a practice session or in a session where, like an NCM, I spent most of my time using the Apex coaching display because, like, going into turn 10, I was pretty consistently overslowing.
Sure.
And that tells me more in that situation than predictive does. Because predictive is cumulative, right? But in qualifying, I don't really care if I'm at the limit of the tire or not. I just want to know if I'm going faster or
slower. That's fair, yeah.
Right? So that's kind of how that value. And what's cool about this feature, Abe, is that this capability is for all Gen 2 users. You don't have to subscribe to have this capability. You don't have to have a Laptimer Plus account. Gen 1 can't do this at all. All Gen 2 users get this. you still have to have Laptimer Plus to have the numerical on-screen predictive display,
from the
LED display, everybody gets it.
Gotcha. Yeah. Awesome.
This little learning brain that you see right here is a feature that people have asked for a while. And what that does is it actually freezes the Apex Pro display model, the Apex coaching model. So Abe, if you and I go to Gingerman and we're driving your Civic and you lay down a smoking couple of laps,
which would never happen, but if it did,
you can go back here and toggle this off to frozen. And then when I go out in your car, the real time display on the Apex is going to be your session.
Oh, neat.
So it's not going to learn anymore. It's just going to display what Abe did.
Very cool.
So particularly in data review or in video afterwards or in like a long sweeping corner where I can compare directly. Now, instead of me going, okay, I'm all green this lap, next lap, I'm a little slower, I got a red or two lights there. Okay, I can pick it up a little bit. I'm going to get on the gas. Now I go in and Abe was way faster here. I see a bunch of red lights, right? Makes it a little more obvious.
And just to be clear, one of the benefits of having the longer battery life is that because you're not turning off the device between sessions, this is possible, or is the model frozen even after a power cycle on the Apex Pro device?
So the power would stay on.
Got it.
To use this feature, you need to leave the power on. But yeah, now that it's using less power, it's less of a problem.
Gotcha. That's very, very cool. And it solves some opportunities that you and I have been talking about for some time. This is neat. Presumably then, I think if I understand this right, this also means that if you have the model frozen, that means when you roll back out on track, you have the model available immediately instead of waiting for it to rebuild over a lap or two.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So now time attack, you might go out in the morning, and lay down a quick time on a good track. Right. And there's a lot of grip on the track, but you didn't quite get everything out of the car because it was the first session of the day. You can now freeze the model and go out in your second session and have a much more obvious indication of whether you can break later or not.
Especially in the right now time attack environment, right? Lap one. No, that's fantastic. What an awesome feature.
I think it'll be really well received. And I'm looking forward to using it. I've already played with it a little bit on just driving around the office test track. But the predictive is definitely cool too. And now you can display the predictive on your phone and on the Apex LEDs, and they're telling you the same thing, but the LEDs are a little easier to see. Predictive's a little more informative. Like if you're in an endurance environment and you have a long straightaway, what I usually tell my drivers is we're targeting this lap on the predictive.
Gotcha. That's cool.
Yeah. So that gives you that kind of capability. So I'm going to select a track, for example. I'll just search like Gingerman, just as an example, since we're on the Slip Angle Show.
That's right.
And open lap timer. So this is new. This is going to pop up with Gen 1 and Gen 2 units. This isn't exclusive to Gen 2, but this is the setup sheet.
Okay.
And this is cool because now when you submit data to CrewView, your car and your tire are going to be assigned with that data. They're going to be included in the data.
Coupled metadata, right?
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And so this is going to be this is an easy screen. Like all weekend at NCM, I was in a 97 M3 on Hoosier Slicks. I just hit accept. But if you happen to be, and I made a couple other cars just for fun, maybe I'm in my 2015 SRT Viper on Kumho R compound cheater tires, right? It's easy to make those changes. So where the cars come from is the CrewView profile. You can add cars to your garage. You can choose your make and model. In the future, we'll have more modification things that you can add a picture of it, that sort of thing. That functionality is not there yet. But this is what allows us to now know when you submit your data, the car, the tire, and depending on your tire, you'll be lumped into a different category. So like in Gingerman Raceway, there will be an overall top 10 leaderboard. Then there will be a slick tire leaderboard, an R compound tire leaderboard, and a street and a 200 tread wear plus tire leaderboard.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I figured that would be the best way to do it. I thought about it a lot, and it's like, could do we do it power to weight? That gets kind of confusing. I think doing it by tire, obviously a Miata on 200 tread wears and a Viper on 200 tread wears are going to produce different lap times, but at least now we're narrowing it down
they're in the same category, right? One just has a lot more power.
Right. And the data is very comparable, whether you believe it or not. A Viper on a, you know, whatever AO52 and a Miata on an AO52, minimum corner speeds are going to be super similar.
Sure.
The way you get into the corner and get out of the corner are going to be super similar. That gives people a point of comparison that I think narrows down the focus a little bit and allows you to get more accurate information.
Sure.
So this is the setup sheet. Calibration, obviously. This page is now a little different. So this is what you see while you're on track.
Okay.
On the phone display. So instead of it just being the lap timer and a list of laps, we now have various options that you can select.
Okay.
And you do that by tapping these blue arrows that you'll recognize from the data review area to toggle through different pages. So if I want to record video, I've got Lap Timer Plus, I'm going to toggle video on. If for some reason I want to see my video while I'm on track, like see it recording, I can leave it on that page. I'm probably not going to do that though. I'm going to toggle over to this page, which is a track map. So this is actually really cool. If you watch the track map on your device, this is going to show all the Apex Pro drivers that are currently on track and their little dot in the color of their car moving around the track in their position. So like a practical use for this is like in a qualifying session, let's say there's 10 drivers using Apex Pros and that's all that's in my session. If I pull off track, I'm trying to find clean track. I could literally sit there on pit lane, look at the track map. Oh, track's clear. Yep.
That's smart.
I think that'll be really cool. That's obviously not going to be the primary use of this screen, but it's really cool. You can display OBD2 gauges. So whichever gauge you want, you toggle through with these white arrows to display it. So if you want to see something specific from OBD2. And then here's probably the most popular one is going to be the lap timer display.
Gotcha.
Which is what you see now. To select predictive, you go down here and tap this guy.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And then we can also, and the screen's going to get big, we can also go to landscape. And this is a little more traditional. Right now you're just going to see your last lap, your best lap, and your current lap. And then you can also tap this icon in the bottom right if you want to have two options here in landscape.
Oh, I see.
Or a single option. Yeah. And then the toggle over here on the left side is what determines portrait or landscape, because if you're on sticky tires, the orientation of your phone can change on track.
I've never been fast enough to have that be a problem.
I ran into that for the first time at NOLA. So I've never had it be a problem on 200 tread wears. And then I stuck those Goodyears on the car at NOLA and all of a sudden we're doing 1.3, 1.4 G and now the phone goes.
Whoop, sure. Whoop. So can we go back to that landscape mode for a second? The icon in the bottom left of the black box, there's a stopwatch, there's a predictive icon. And then so remind me the different function here. So
yeah. The stopwatch, we'll start at the beginning. The stopwatch is just like your running lap time. So you'll just see a counter, you know, lap time counter running across. That's the standard. That's free. That's what comes with the device. And then you'll see the last lap and the best lap, obviously, where they're listed. When you toggle to the wand, that is the predictive timer.
Gotcha. And so there's only, it's a toggle of two icons, correct?
There's three.
Okay. So what's the third one?
The third is predictive delta.
Oh, okay. So
this is, and that's just I find most people want to see the actual predicted time. So the wand is what will my lap time be is what predicted is. Like I'm halfway through the track. What does, based on my progress so far this lap, what lap time will I do?
Okay.
So the display will say 139.2.
Sure.
Or 139.8. And it'll change based on if you're going slower or faster than previous laps. The delta is going to be a difference between my current lap progress, my current predicted lap time, and my best lap time.
So it might be like minus 1.2 or something.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay.
So it just depends on how you want to see it. I like the full lap time display, but for some people, like at a track you're intimately familiar with, like let's say Gingerman, you might know exactly what your best lap is or what you've done so far in that session. And you just want to see like the gap to that lap. How much better than that lap am I?
Sure. Yep. So that way you're not doing math while you're on the track.
Right. Exactly. Cool.
So that's really cool functionality. Sorry. Thanks for showing that.
Yeah, absolutely. That is most of that stuff is applicable for the Gen 1 unit as well. So with this update, the Gen 1 unit will also get incrementally more powerful because of these new features. But the features that we've, and I've tried to be clear if they're Gen 1 or Gen 2, and it'll tell you in the app, if you touch something in the app that is like gray while you're connected to a Gen 1 unit, it'll tell you if you can or can't use it. And trust me when I say that, like, the things that are Gen 2 compatible are because there's appreciable differences in the hardware that the Gen 1 just can't do.
Gotcha.
Some of those things Gen 1 could do in isolation if it wasn't doing everything else that it's doing, but it can't due to the processor that it has and just the way that it's designed. It's not designed to do these things that Gen 2 was designed to do, the predictive gotcha. Display. It was designed to do the machine, the brain stop learning function, other stuff like that.
Gotcha. So what feature would you like to talk about next?
Do you want to look at Crew View? Because I think that's going to be extremely popular amongst particularly the Time Attack crowd. So when you tap Crew View, now you see like a public profile. This didn't exist at all before this update. So now I get to go in and design my avatar. So I have a little option here where I can tap that and I can actually choose a picture.
Okay.
I chose my helmet. And when you do that, that will actually make a post on this community page. So we can actually see there's Abram Smucker, Eric Meyer, right? It'll make a post and it'll say, hey, I'm on Crewview now. And that's how you can go follow other users. Hey, I saw my buddy on the Crewview feed. I can go follow them. But on this page, you can add cars to your garage. So I can go here and I can add a car. I get to pick year, make, and model. And I picked an Alfa Romeo just because it's right at the top. Color, drivetrain. And then personal records. That is from the submissions that you have. So right now I'm the record holder, I believe. No, I'm not the record holder at Barbara. I think I'm the record holder at NCM, right? So it tells me what my records are. If I want to submit data, I can tap submit laps.
Gotcha.
And this actually allows you to submit all of your data at once. It takes a while if you have a lot of data, but it's nice and convenient. I can tap these records. So I'm like, ooh, 140 at Barbara. That's pretty quick. I can tap it and now I can actually see that data session.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So you can see this, like for somebody that's maybe you haven't been to Barber before or you haven't been in a while, you can now scroll through the Crewview community board and you can search specifically for Barber. You can be like, oh, there's a Andrew Raines lap at Barber. Maybe I want to look at that. And now you can go in and you can scroll through here and be like, oh, 118 miles per hour on the front straight. Wow. Right. And 80 miles per hour through turn one. Cool. Okay. That was in a 97 M3 on Hankook street tires.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. Very cool.
That's really neat.
Yeah. I thought that would be popular. In the future, you will also be able to request this data from the user as well.
That's cool. So here you don't get the intimate details of the XY data on the speed distance trace, but there's a lot of information to be had right there.
Right. You get a more insight into like, what is the substance behind that record? And particularly if you understand the speed trace and you know what to look for on a speed trace, you can see opportunity. Like if I, let's say I didn't have a peak on this speed trace right here and I was coming off the brake real slow and you'd be like, oh man, he went fast and he didn't even transition quickly to the brake pedal there. Like, look at that.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot you can get from that. So when you submit data, you start to get these community milestones. So these are like how many different laps I have submitted. I have 8 followers. I've submitted data for 3 different tracks that I have some sort of a top 10 record affiliated with.
Gotcha.
And we'll add more of those and eventually award like real world prizes for those. So like if you've been to 100 racetracks, then you should get something, right? Like
that's
significant. Or if you have 2,000 followers, right, you should get something. So the community page down here at the bottom, that's basically kind of think of this as like your Instagram feed. This is where all the magic happens. So I can see Ryan Finch submitted a record for NCM. I submitted a record for NCM. Abe and Eric and Adon and Lisa joined Crewview. Mike Clark submitted a record for Road Atlanta. I can go through this and any of these users, like, you know, if I want to take a look, I'm like, oh, well, I want to follow Abe. I can tap that and I can see your public profile.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then to follow people, you just tap the three dots. I'm following you already, so I'm not going to unfollow you.
Well, thanks.
And then you can also kind of categorize this by all events. So this is public, everyone in the country who's using Crewview right now. It's only a handful of people because it's in beta. You can isolate it by friends. So like I'm following a bunch of people. I only want to see my friends.
Sure.
And to find friends, all you have to do is tap up here and search. Like if I wanted to find Abe, I'd be like, Abe, oh, there's Abe.
Awesome.
So I can search and find people I know that are on here. And then the last one is home tracks. I'm particularly excited about this feature because there's tracks that we all care about. So like whether or not I go to that track that often, I've been to Laguna twice. I did really well there. I know what lap times are there. I won't go there for a while, but I'm interested to know what kind of times people are running. All I have to do is tap the globe in the top right here.
Okay.
Now I can go search for any track that's on our database, right? So if I want to go follow Laguna Seca as my home track, boop, Laguna Seca, confirm. Now any records submitted for Laguna Seca will fall under my home track list. So I follow Barber, Road Atlanta, and now Laguna Seca.
That's awesome.
I think that'll be really cool. That makes it personal and it lets you see like, oh, who are the fast guys at these tracks that I care about?
Yeah, sure.
So that's the gist of the new stuff with Crewview. The live stream map is kind of the same kind of Crewview style that we're used to seeing. So there's two people on track right now. If I want to see them live on the track now, just tap the search bar. Hey, actually, Josh Rubenstein, he's a Grid Life guy.
Okay.
Cool. So we can go. He raced GLTC. So we can go follow Josh. Looks like he's like in the paddock or something right now. Oh, no, he's on the track. So now what's really cool, I think he's actually this one. There we go. Let's see this guy. He's on the track. Yeah. Cool. Now we're following somebody that's actually doing stuff. So what Crewview, or I'm sorry, not Crewview, what Gen 2 is going to offer now, this is standard functionality. Everybody can see this on Crewview. Gen 1, Gen 2, doesn't matter. What Gen 2 is going to offer is the ability to view telemetry coming off of a car that's on Crewview. We're not going to be able to do it with an example right now because neither of these guys are Lap Timer Plus subscribers. Actually, I think Josh might be. Let's see. Let's see if we can do it with Josh right now, real-time demo. If you turn the phone to landscape, it's going to take it a minute. But if you're viewing a Lap Timer Plus subscriber in the landscape orientation of Crewview, a telemetry box is going to pop up. So maybe let's try this other driver. Yeah, I don't think we're going to get it to work right now because I don't think either of these guys are actually subscribers. There we go. I'm sorry, I just lied. So you see this box right here in the middle of the screen, Abe?
Yeah.
This is the telemetry display.
How cool is that?
I don't think he's on track at the moment because we're not seeing any lap times. The other driver is, but he's not a Lap Timer Plus subscriber. So you have to have a subscription to generate this information. But what you'll see when he actually starts driving and logs his first lap is right now I have distance and speed selected. So I actually see a live speed trace on this in this little box.
I bet this would be excellent for driver coaching.
We crashed it. Congratulations.
Submit that feedback.
That's right. We can edit that.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, actually, it's and it's funny that it crashed because I've used it. Like, I think it might have something to do with being tethered to the computer, but it works extremely well for real-time driver feedback, particularly if you have communication with the driver.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It works if you don't, but like as a driver coach, I can see the speed trace and I already know, you know, new driver at Road Atlanta, they're probably not going to stay in it all the way down the back straightaway the first lap, but now I can confirm that.
Well, it's that hill at 9. I know the road is there, but it's scary.
Yeah, it's the hill. Agreed. It is kind of intimidating. So unfortunately that demo didn't work because Josh wasn't actually on track at that moment. But that's the gist of the feature. And we've been testing it a lot and it works really, really well. And the data's very much so tied to your cellular service and how good it is. So at certain tracks, it's going to be better than others, but that's the only way to do it. Most tracks, particularly if you have, you know, AT&T, Verizon, whoever, it's about maybe a half second delay from real life. So like where this guy is on the track right now, he's probably a half a second ahead of it in real life.
That's insane.
That's all. Yeah. Feedback. Small latency. It's very, very cool. So if you're not using CrewView now, I would encourage you to use the feature as is, but also there will be an in-app purchase that just enables this feature. So if you only want telemetry, like say your wife comes to the track with you, or your husband comes to the track with you, or you have a crew chief or a buddy that you want to have this data, you can subscribe to this feature only and gotcha. They can see you that's, and see the real-time really, information. Really cool. Yeah. So we'll back out of that. So that's the CrewView stuff. And that is telemetry is a Gen 2 feature.
Gotcha.
So you do have to have a Gen 2. That's just because the processor on the Gen 1 won't do everything that it's already doing and telemetry. Gen 2 will.
Awesome.
Yeah. We can look at data review. That's where I was kind of going originally, like some things that you'll notice that are different between Gen 1 and Gen 2 in data review. They're a lot more subtle, but we can jump into that.
Yeah, sure.
Cool. So if we look at data, and we'll pick on me again because that's easy from NCM. There's a couple of changes for everybody in data review, and the big one is the way that you move the car's position around the track, which is now done by, and I'll turn the phone to landscape so we get a bigger image here. It's now done by moving this speed trace image. So I'm just moving my finger across the screen.
It's like sliding across. Gotcha.
Yep. So now I can see the position of the car on the track in the above screen. I can see where that is on the speed trace. I can zoom in. I can see, okay, at that point on the track, I'm going 109 miles per hour. Here's where I am on the speed trace. And I have a lot more control over where I place the car. This feature seems to work a lot better than what we had there before. And it also kind of helps jog your memory on the speed trace.
Sure.
Now I know if I stop the car here, that's my minimum speed, right? That's the lowest point in that particular corner. Mm-hmm. I don't have to have another screen to tell me that, right? I just, boom. So that's for both Gen 1 and Gen 2. This data is actually from a Gen 2 unit. So what you'll notice on Gen 2 is that the precision of the placement of the car on the track is much better than Gen 1. And much more accurate to real life. As I drive off the track here, I do think I actually was too off there. Because as you notice, I think we talked about this yesterday, my normal minimum speed here was like 107, 108, and it was earlier in the corner. But if you notice, like right in the middle of the corner, I'm a little faster. And then right here, I start heading towards the exit real fast. So that probably was exciting, but that's the biggest difference that you're going to see is the quality of the data is somewhat noticeable. I won't say that you'll be like right away, like, oh my goodness. But if you've looked at a lot of Gen 1 data, you'll notice a difference with sure. the car positioning on the track.
That's amazing.
It's very exciting for sure. And that quality translates to the speed trace that you'll see on the next page, which is right here. It translates to the quality of the long G and lat G data that you see from our accelerometer. And something I think that's really important to mention, if we're looking at longitudinal G, which this is braking and accelerating forces, negative is braking, positive is accelerating.
Okay.
We're one of the only systems on the market that is using an accelerometer to produce this data. So why does that matter? Because I think most people just think you have to have an accelerometer to produce this data, but you don't. You can use a GPS. You can use a 10 hertz GPS and calculate acceleration based on change in speed.
Velocity. Got it.
Almost everybody else in the marketplace does that. It's reasonably good data, but when you really start to look at nuance, there's nothing better than filtering accelerometer data. And that's what we're doing here. So this is data from the nine-axis IMU logged at 10 hertz, filtered to smooth it a little bit so that you're not seeing all the little accelerometer kind of fuzz blips that they produce. Yep.
Noise.
Yeah. But if you compare this to a GPS long G trace, you'll see some pretty substantial differences. And I would go off of this long G trace and lat G for that matter. But if you're interested, if you're a driver that's going, hey, I'd really like to see what my braking looks like, what my brake pressure looks like, essentially, this is probably the most affordable way to get a really, really good idea of what your foot's doing on the brake pedal. You don't need brake pressure to know what your foot's doing on the pedal.
Sure.
If you need to know at what PSI does my ABS intervene, you might need brake pressure.
Sure.
But most of us don't really need to know that. So that's kind of a cool point of emphasis here. Everything else in Data Review Abe is the same. It's not, there's not substantial changes here. We're seeing most of the same information. Sector times, obviously, that's a lap timer plus feature. But the big one is just the precision of the car placement is going to be more closer to reality.
And if you're watching this video and you haven't seen the other Track Tune video, which was a slip angle podcast, we compared Tom O'Gorman's lap in Andrew's car and Andrew's lap in Andrew's car at NCM. And coming out of the sinkhole, actually, that is where I noticed the pretty pronounced difference in resolution with respect to car position.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that data was produced. Tom drove with the Gen 2. I drove with the Gen 2. And I did notice that yesterday as well, like the position, our relative position to one another, that type of analysis is going to be more useful with the Gen 2.
Right on.
Which I think is a big value add for the new product.
So if you're watching this, I believe this will be available in late May of 2021. This video will be available in late May. What can you say about the availability of hardware and what the launch dates are and what are some of the finer details with respect to people who are interested in one of these?
Sure. I'll almost forgot one thing that I think is extremely important, and I neglected to mention it, but the Apex light display, the light bar that you see right here, which is the Apex coaching model that gets displayed in real time, has been adjusted to account for straight line acceleration. So now it's no longer anticipating you to expect at your peak acceleration the whole straightaway. It's now relative to how hard it knows that you can actually accelerate.
Oh, interesting.
So you should be able to get on an ideal exit. You should be able to see green lights most of the way down the straightaway.
Assuming you're doing things to the limit of the car.
Yes. And so what's funny is my exit out of this part of the track is not very good as determined by my data compared with Tom's. And therefore I don't see all green lights down the straightaway. And that's why, because the modeling now does work, now does reflect reality. So if you miss a shift, you shift slowly, that's going to show you red lights.
Gotcha.
If you shift really quickly, you're going to see all green lights.
That's awesome.
It's a little more intuitive. And I think that's a very important improvement. Gen 2 over Gen 1 is the Apex coaching model is fundamentally different. And we've been getting more and more data with it from beta testing. So we will continue to improve it to reflect reality. Because it's amazing how much different what a computer and a sensor takes in from driving and what like reality is.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. But if you want to talk, we can jump into hardware availability. Sorry to derail you there, but, we will be officially announcing, the new product on May 25th. Most of the first production run of Gen 2 units are already sold, mostly to our dealers. If you're listening to this on May 25th, there may or may not be any available currently from Apex Pro, but we can link in some Apex Pro dealers that will have units, and they will be available very soon. probably within a month or so. There is a exchange program for LapTimer Plus annual members. So if you have the annual subscription, you can exchange your old Gen 1 for a new Gen 2 and get a discount.
Oh boy, that's me.
Yeah, that's Abe. So you can send one in. We're not offering that for the monthly subscription for the obvious reason that you can go buy the $10 a month subscription and then go, hey, I need the upgrade and get a discount.
Gotcha. Well, this is probably a good reason to buy the annual membership anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're looking for an excuse to purchase LapTimer Plus features, that would be a good reason to do it. The discount will be higher, will be more than the cost of the subscription. So you'll probably get a $125 discount on the Apex Pro hardware with your LapTimer Plus subscription. So the way you can look at it is the subscription is essentially free for the first year, plus an extra $25 off of the hardware purchase.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to take those units back, use them for demos, refurb them, try to bring more people into the Apex Pro community.
That's great. I think we've kind of covered just about everything. What are the final points that you want to make before we finish the broadcast?
We tried really hard not to raise the price, which we'd also decided that the best time to do a price raise is when you release a new product. Everyone kind of expects it. So we kind of settled on basically raising the price by the increase in cost of goods. So the price will be $589 retail price. The old retail price for Gen 1 was $549. And I think that's going to be both competitive in the marketplace, but also give us the bottom line that we need as a business to continue to grow. So that $30 difference is mostly attributed to the scarcity of the current GPS chip that we're using.
Gotcha.
And the price increase that we saw there, which hopefully those component costs will come down over time. Not anytime soon. COVID has created so many like weird manufacturing shortages that you would never realize. And the GPS chip problem has been part of it. So $589 retail, available from Apex Pro dealers and on apextrackcoach.com. But if you're interested, definitely check it out today because they will be gone very quickly.
That is awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show and talking with us about the new hardware. I'm very excited to get my hands on one.
Well, I think we will make that happen. And we'll be at more GridLife events this year. So we will have some Gen 2 units that folks can use. I'll be at Alpine Horizon. I'll be at Mid-Ohio. And I'll also be at Midwest Festival.
Excellent.
So it's going to be a good year. I'm pumped. I'd never been to a GridLife event before NOLA, and now I'm going to do like six in a 12-month period.
So. Well, thanks so much, and we love talking with you, and good luck on the launch.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Appreciate everybody that listens and follows along.
Slip Angle was created by Austin Cabot and Adam Jabe, co-hosted by Derek Yarbrough, and production by Abram Schmucker, who mixes all of our terrible audio. If you like the show, please rate us and review us on iTunes, and come and find us in the pits at GridLife to say hello.